Ellen, I'm in Palm Springs, California.
I know. How is it?
It's quiet. It's quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And I came here without shorts or a bathing suit because something...
Or a ring light.
Or a ring light. So I went to TJ Maxx and I picked up these really cute suits. And I was like, are these going to be too big? Because I'm not going to go fucking try on anything at TJ Maxx. I'm just going to pick it up. And I bring it home. And when I tell you that I looked like a tropical sausage.
That sounds delicious.
I had boobs coming out of my armpits. Have you ever had your boobs coming out of your armpits?
Yeah, we call that side boob.
It was, and everyone's like, yeah, but they're bathing suits. They're stretchy. I was like, first of all, that's an attack on me. And second of all, I don't know what's going on with sizing. Like, look, I've gained some weight, okay? Fine. It's the end of the world. End stage capitalism. We're all doing what we can to survive. I eat a lot of ice cream. Go fuck yourself, you know? But, like, that wasn't a size 4 bathing suit. That was a size for a Barbie. An actual Barbie doll. So, also, I got my ADHD testing results back. And it turns out that they slipped in an IQ test. And they told me that I have an average IQ. And so I don't even... My whole identity has been shattered.
Welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. Hi, everyone. First of all, we're fine. Everybody on this microphone is fine. I am still Ellen Marsh. It's been a minute. That is still Daisy Eakin. Welcome to our Love is Blind recap podcast. I just want to unpack a couple of things before we dive into the episode. Before the IQ test, what did you think you were?
Mensa material. No, I thought I was like,
right. Okay.
Turns out I'm basic.
Yeah.
Turns out I'm at the high level of basic.
Right. Okay.
That was my whole thing. I don't do musical theater anymore. I'm not pretty. I'm smart. And now they have taken that from me.
You are beautiful and talented and kind and funny. Okay. But you still are pretty, and that's more important.
Yeah, that's true.
Wait, did you tell them you had a Tony?
No, if they told me I was going to be taking an IQ test, I would have studied.
You would have tried harder. Do you have ADHD?
Yeah, mild. I was like, can you come sit in my office for a day? I'll show you mild ADHD.
You did the whole testing. How long did it take? Did you do the 12 hours?
No. Oh, 12 hours. What planet are you on? 12 hours?
Well, I did that's my question. I did the whole neurological thing. Did you do the whole brain mapping neurological thing?
No, it was like, put these blocks to match this picture, and here's a math problem that you have to solve in your head, and like, I'm going to show you a picture, and now I'm going to show you another picture, and you've got to tell me what's different, and like, I'm going to tell you a story.
I love it.
And then 20 minutes from now, you got to tell me that story back. And then, like, vocabulary.
I love it. I could do those testing all day long.
I mean, I kind of enjoyed it.
Did they do
it.
The groupings of things?
I don't know.
It's so fun. Mild ADHD. Well, welcome, everyone. Two people with diagnosed ADHD. It's no wonder we took a break. So, for our general listenership, you might have noticed that we took a little unexpected break. And that is for a bunch of different reasons. We've had some busy, unexpectedly busy schedules. I had just a little bit of a life issue. I am fine.
You could say it. Nervous breakdown. She had a nervous breakdown.
Right. No, I mean, I wasn't nervous about it. I was really confident about it, actually. I was really confident in my breakdown.
She had a confident breakdown.
I called Amber one day. I FaceTimed her a block from my house because I couldn't possibly drive any further without FaceTiming her. I called Amber and I literally went, hey, and I just started bawling. I didn't ask her how she was. I didn't ask her if she was in a space to receive said nervous breakdown. It was like your cat throwing up on your carpet. It was unexpected, and you stepped in it, and now it's your problem.
Now it's yours. Yeah, it was funny because she said you called her, and you were like, I don't want to tell Daisy because I don't want to upset her. And I was like, Ellen hasn't learned the most important thing about me, which is I am always thrilled when plans are canceled.
But it doesn't mean that I didn't miss the show. And then we've had some scheduling stuff. Daisy has been traveling. I was in Colombia. Then there were just unforeseen things. But I want to apologize to all of you very loyal Shut the Fuck Up Nick Lachey listeners. This truly is such a nice break from the other two true crime podcasts I do. I love being with Daisy. I love working for Grab Bag. I love Amber. And so I hope you accept my apology. Keeping you waiting past the reunion, but I still really want to do it because I love this show. I love making this podcast. And despite what you have read on the internet, Daisy, I really do love you. Oh, did you not see? You didn't see this stuff. Sorry.
Oh, what was... No. Hold on.
Huh?
I'm gonna go right now.
No. Put your phone down. It's fine. No, let's just... We gotta go. I gotta... I am busy. We gotta... I'm typing.
Hey, Siri?
Things. No.
Remind me to look at Ellen's...
No need. Hey, Siri, don't do that, because it's fine. Everything's good and great and fine and good.
Okay, I've added it.
Okay, we'll see. So we're at episode 10, Roller Coaster of Love.
It's 11. Whatever. Isn't it 11?
Roller Coaster of Love. Sure. Who knows where we even are anymore?
I don't know.
We're back at the pool party. The pool party that never ends.
The fucking barbecue from hell, man.
Yeah. Clay is having a poke at Johnny and about his style, saying he looks like he's from The Sopranos.
I feel like it was a little bit more of a bromance moment. Because, yes. Like, Clay was like, ooh, show me that shirt. Let me see that shirt. Okay, now, just take off your shirt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Arch your back. Now lay down.
Wait,
and arch your back.
Give me the shirt. Can I smell? I'm going to smell while you...
If you... I'm not making... I just want to see what detergent you use. But now... Now open your... give me a top...
Like a little duck. A little duck lip. Smize.
Bros, are you guys okay? Are the bros okay?
The bros in this season love each other.
They really
do. I'm here for all of the, like, the camaraderie and, like, got your back goodness of some of this. Although, I'm starting to not have faith in any of these people.
Right. I do actually really think that women just let so much get in the way in female friendships. And I'm like, just stop. Just hug it out. Hug it out and do a photo shoot at a really uncomfortable barbecue with another straight person and just be normal.
Just be normal about it. You know, Jimmy tells AD, like, seemingly out of nowhere, he's like, man, Matt and Clay are about as opposite as people can get. And AD's like, oh, we're talking about Matt now? That's what we're doing?
Right.
We're going to do that right now?
But they were talking about Matt and the guys were like, no, actually, he was like really handsome. He looked like Clark Kent. And AD was like, come on my what? He looked like what? AD was like, okay, just like locking that in the back of her brain.
But also, this season has been so long that I was like, Matt? And then I was like, that was this
season?
Yeah. Oh my God. Amy tells somebody, who cares, that she would definitely say yes if the wedding day was today.
I feel bad at how much I don't care about them now because they're lovely people. Yeah. They're totally lovely. I wish them nothing but safe sex and the best, but I just don't care.
I know.
We're bad people. We're bad people. We should be rooting for them.
No, we're not bad people. We're watching reality TV for a reason, and this is not the reason. I've always said that we should make a reality TV show where, like, people are just nice to each other and there's never any conflict, and the cameras are just like, the editors are desperately trying to make it look like there's conflict, but, like, literally nothing is happening.
I think they've done that on, like, The Real World, and they were like, we were literally, like, talking about a bag of grapes, but then they added, like, dun dun.
Yeah.
Did you eat these grapes? Gong gong.
I love it.
I did. Dong dong. Okay, cool, because I didn't want them to go bad, so.
Right. That's what I've always thought is we should do a scene where it's like, there's no more milk. Da-da! Oh, shoot, you're right. You know what? I finished it and I forgot to get more. I'll run out right now.
We should make that a series.
We should.
Of, like, really very simple conversations and making them dramatic. All right, Alejandra and Sarah Ann walk in. I'm sure Alejandra had a very lovely arc, but I know 0.00 things about her other than her name is Alejandra and she was on the show.
Uh-huh.
I don't know why she's there. I don't know what they want from me.
I said, I wonder if they're are contractually obligated to go to these parties. Like, why are you here? Why are... Sarah Ann, come on. Why are you here? Don't come to this party. This is not...
Don't come to... Oh.
This is not your time.
Oh, baby, we're going to get into it with Sarah Ann. Sarah Ann walks in and you can cut the tension with an ice cream scooper.
Yes.
A fucking spatula.
Yeah.
A fucking... Another blunt kitchen object.
With a stage knife that has no edge whatsoever.
None. And Jeremy says, oh my God, this is so awkward. I'm like, you know why it's awkward, dude?
You did that.
Because you made it awkward. Because you stayed out with someone that wasn't your fiance and who's a patriot, who is anti-abortion. We'll get into that later. You made this awkward, my guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Laura is not having it. She tells Chelsea that she's shocked that Sarah Ann had the audacity to show up today, which, I mean, agreed.
Second time I've agreed with Laura.
I mean,
great.
Trevor is like, yo, Chels dog.
Wait, I have a question. Did he ever call her that before? Like, did we miss a whole nickname situation?
Possibly. I think he's also trying to be like, nothing's weird and awkward about this. She's my bro.
Chels dog.
Chels dog.
Day's dog. Sup?
El dog. El doggio.
Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, I really do think that he's trying to make it be like, nothing's weird. Nothing's weird. This isn't awkward. You're just my bro. He apologizes that he cut his mullet off. Dude, we need to talk about the roid rash that's in. First of all, well, I didn't know it was roid rash until somebody in our chats said it was roid rash.
I think it might be psoriasis because, number one, it hasn't gotten better and it's now spread to his eyebrows.
And to his cheeks. He has like chicken skin on his cheeks.
Chicken skin. Is he okay?
I paused it and I was like, that's chicken. It's like chicken skin. And the thing is, fine, something's wrong. It's okay. But like,
sure.
If a woman showed up like that.
Oh, my God.
Never,
it would be all over the internet.
Never. Never right. In 7 million years.
It is so weird.
When Amy Schumer, who I don't fuck with, showed up on whatever talk show, like, really puffy and huge, and everyone's like, oh, she's fat, she's fat. There was this woman who came on to defend her on social media, and she's like, she has a medical condition. And I'm like, oh, okay, so if she doesn't have a medical condition, then we can make fun of her for being fat? Okay, she has a medical condition, so we shouldn't. It's not her fault that she's fat.
Right.
So, yeah, if a woman showed up with this.
I also have a medical condition, and that's.
Being a cunt?
Why I'm a cunt. So it's a medical condition. So if you're going to call me out, know that I have a doctor's note.
And if you're going to call you out, you're being ableist.
Yeah, because I'm also deaf in one ear and a cunt. I'm a cunt deaf. I'm a deaf cunt. Oh, man. No, I just don't know if Trevor is okay. I think it's psoriasis. Maybe it's eczema.
Boy. He's got to do what Cyndi Lauper does on that ad and take whatever that shit is. Rinvoke. Scales be gone. We cut to Trevor tells Chelsea that the second he got his phone back, he looked her
up. The weird thing about watching this now, and I feel like by the time this episode was actually released, those text messages had already been released on the internet anyway. So watching this children's theater production of Trevor pretends that he ever loved Chelsea is even weirder to me. It made me just like want to take an edible. And I did actually when I was noting this.
I am, you know, when they put out, like when people say that like, oh, they're crisis actors or like they put out a documentary where people are like, there's no way that those aren't actors. And I'm like, you can't find people in the real world that can act that good. Like that's, if those are actors, then why aren't they in movies? Because that is tremendous acting. And so I am always shocked at this kind of behavior because I'm like, how are you doing this? How are you convincing everybody that you're not a garbage bag filled with hot, leaky garbage, maggot-covered garbage?
It's so very weird. You're right. He's a very good actor because we didn't watch this with new eyes because all of that stuff had leaked on TikTok and Instagram. But if it hadn't, I'd be like, what a precious little bunny.
I know.
The way I had been fooled this whole time. And he's like, yeah, I bawled my eyes out. I'm a man, but I cried. Did you hear that I cried? I cried. I made water come out of my eyes.
I went like this.
Yeah.
And this one little tear came out. And then we cut to Jimmy, who is chewing his food in a manner that I think we're supposed to interpret as aggressive and uncomfortable. Despite everything, Chelsea tells him that he is her type, and Jimmy knows that, so it's totally fine for me to say that. He says, your decision doesn't make any sense to me. Which I acknowledge doesn't mean it was the wrong decision. Like, again, like, he says all the right things.
And he's like, and I'm just going to ask one more time. If I went first and asked you to marry me, would there be a different outcome? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, you just have to say that to be a good person. I was like, bitch, what do you know about being a good person?
Honestly.
You don't know the first thing.
Yeah. Honestly.
And she's apologizing to him. And in my head, I'm like, Chels dog. This man has a whole ass relationship. I'm trying to scream at you from the past. And he says, I bet things would be really fun with you. And she's like, yeah, I don't get mad. Like,
oh,
no way. Like, I've never gotten mad. I don't yell.
I'm so I'm like easy. I'm like low mance.
No yelling would ever happen or has happened or would occur. No, yelling from me, no.
No. As long as you are literally handcuffed to my wrist, I'm fine. Like, just be handcuffed to my wrist, and then we're not going to have a problem.
Yeah.
It's going to be fine.
Also, what is he doing with his tongue? Is he a lizard, or is he on E? He was like...
I know. Maybe he also...
Is he on E?
Maybe he got his lips filled, or maybe he's on some sort of weird medication that's giving him, like, horrible tics.
Have you ever seen or read Seascape by Edward Albee?
No.
In Act 1, it's people, and in Act 2, two people dressed as lizards come on.
Edward Albee wrote
that? Fucking wild. I think it was Albee. Maybe I'm wrong. Oh, shit. Oh, God. If I'm wrong, live and in person, who...
Live and in person.
Seascape. Oh, phew. It was Edward Albee. Okay, good. I'm still smarter than you because you have an average IQ, and I'm very smart.
I'm basic.
Okay. So then she tells Trevor about an argument they got into when she was martini drunk. And she's like, we've had some fights. And she kind of admits that she's wrong. And then she retracts it. Did you see that little maneuver?
Oh, yeah. She says, I was wrong. I wasn't wrong. It was just my delivery that was wrong.
I was like, yay! Look at... It was just that fast. Just to be like, yeah, I totally overreacted and I yelled and that was super embarrassing and I had some liquor and that exacerbated it and it's fine. And she says, it's been hard not to think about you.
Trevor says, I feel like it would be so easy with us. He's like, even if I did something terrible, I don't think you would ever yell at me.
No yelling.
No, I wouldn't.
Never.
I would
obviously
never. Then he says that he wishes that he could, in his brain, play back how both scenarios would play out, like a sliding doors situation.
Yeah, babe, we all want to do that. Yeah. It's called Choose Your Own Adventure, and it's a game.
Yeah.
Sliding Doors was a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow. That's not how the world works.
No.
We would all like the power to play out a different scenario.
Yeah, it's like he's saying it like it's this like, wait. Hold on. I'm about
if
to
I
blow
could
your
just...
mind. Hold on. What if?
Exactly.
What if you could go? What if there was some way? It's so bizarre the way he is saying this. It would be interesting to depict in his brain. Then he says if he still thinks she's attractive because he likes her, or if he never met her, would he think she's still attractive? I'm like, bro, maybe he is on E. He's like, he came to the party on Molly and it's just like, fucking, this is the peak.
Yeah, maybe. I just wrote, it's weird to know he's doing an act.
Yeah.
It's just weird. It's weird to know. It's like knowing a secret. Mm-hmm. You know, when you ask somebody a question, but you know the answer.
Yeah.
You're like, Say more. You don't say. And then you tell them the real truth. That's always a hilarious spot in life.
We love that.
So then Jimmy comes over and Jimmy and Trevor do a bro hug. I love you, brother. I love you, brother.
They love each other so much.
Let's touch dick tips real fast. Real fast. Let's just touch dick tips and see what that feels like. Cool. Yeah. Love you, brother.
Yeah, they are way, way in love. And then, okay, this is another fucking Chelsea, please have a juice box and calm down. Actually, this is Jimmy's fault. So Chelsea says, you know, Amy and Johnny are clearly the strongest couple. And Jimmy's like, what? And she's like, I'm just kidding. And he's like, no, but why would you say it? No, I was just kidding. Like, obviously I was kidding. Like, I wouldn't, like, no, but why would you say that? No, I was just kidding. I was kidding. I would never say that in front of Trevor. How could I? I was like, are we actually having a fight about her? Jimmy is like, really offended by this comment?
Why is he so offended? That is, it's a very weird interaction.
Yes.
It's like they switch spots. Like, is it a competition?
Yes.
Is Jeff Probst here? What is happening? Why does he get so offended?
It is so bizarre. I don't know. It's like a thing where it's like they were both kidding, and then all of a sudden they're both really not kidding. Like, seriously not kidding.
Elizabeth in the chat says because Jimmy is trying to get out of it. Yeah, maybe he was just picking a fight. Maybe he was trying to find an exit strategy. But I was like, that's it? Just making a comment? They are the strongest couple.
Come on.
They have their head in the clouds. They're doing oral and nothing else. Like,
it's fine. And it's also fine. It doesn't mean anything about you and your life. But yeah, he is fucking poking the bear. And she's like, I would never say that. I would never say that. I would never say that. Especially not in front of Trevor. And then she's like, how are things going with Jess?
And he's like, good. She's like, I'm glad. I'm so glad. I'm happy and glad.
Then
I'm glad I'm happy. It's a happy day that you were talking to that Stone Cold Fox for that long. I don't feel any emotions other than glad and happy.
And then he says, I love you. And she gives him a look like, are you kidding me right now? And I'm like, I hate you guys. I hate the two of you so much. I hate you so much. They're like a sixth grade couple.
They really are. They're not fully formed. So now we enter the Laura and Jeremy territory. The Laura and Jeremy portion of...
Oh, Jeremy.
Jeremiah. So Jeremy says, have you been? And she's like, dandy. Great. And then he says, I've been upset by some of the things that were said. Oh, were you?
Oh, were you? I'm so sorry.
I would like to make an announcement that I am finding it hard to concentrate on anything other than Laura's Grand Tetons.
Yeah.
I would never have the balls to wear a bathing suit like that, but at the same time, I love it.
Yeah. Even back in your 20s, you don't think? I would have.
Maybe in my 20s when my boobs were perky. My boobs were so fucking perky. They literally looked fake.
Really? My butt was in the middle of my back. That's how high it was.
Really? I mean, yeah, because you got best butt in sixth grade, obviously.
I did. Squats and Jesus.
Very weird that you voted on that in sixth grade, by the way. That makes me feel a lot of things.
I didn't. No, it didn't. I think it was like a note that was passed around between the boys. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't some official fucking...
Oh, I thought it was like in the yearbook.
No!
Oh, okay. Okay, got it.
So he brings up that she said that it sucks that he went from fiance to Jeremy in her phone.
It sucks to know that your name changed from fiance to just Jeremy in my phone. Like, oh, that really sucks to fucking hear that.
I politely declined to give you my address and said no thank you because flowers is not what I'm looking
that.
For.
No, I'm going to disagree with that. You politely declining is you. We're going to disagree with that.
I said no thank you. And I
you
even
did, you did not say
it.
You did. Okay.
Pull the text up right now because I'm fucking tired of you doing this bullshit where you take things and you flip it around to try to make like it's something it's not. Okay. You don't know me. I am
clearly.
Me.
Clearly.
I've been authentically me since day one when we met in the pods. You, on the
I'm
other hand, are
have...
a con artist.
Okay.
You have feelings for another person that you don't know how to process. You don't know how to communicate your feelings or much of anything. And you're going to flip it around on me yet again.
I did come into this with the best intentions.
Well, I definitely don't fucking believe that.
Why don't you believe that?
With the best intentions? You think you came in here with the maturity level you need to have a marriage, to fully commit to someone and protect their heart and protect them in your relationship? You think you were prepared to do that? No.
So she's like... Listen, I politely declined to give you my address. I said no thank you. And he's like, well, no, you didn't. She's like, pull up the text right now. Just pull it up because I'm fucking tired of this.
But he doesn't because he knows what he's saying is bullshit. And he's acting for the cameras. And he is just he's not doing anything original. He is reading from the narcissist playbook. It's always the same. So he says, I had the best of intentions. And then he says, Daisy, well, we're clearly not going to have a civil conversation. Number A of all, she does not owe you a civil conversation. She doesn't owe you anything. And Thule, don't provoke her anger and then use it against her to show how irrational and crazy she's being. Because that, my friend, is the archetype type of a narcissist. Like, you, that is the easiest way to define what a narcissist does. Because then she's like, what the fuck? She feels crazy in that moment.
Yeah.
I think she actually does a really good job of keeping her cool, I have to say.
I do too. He's like, I just want to, like, go have fun. Like, we're at a barbecue. And she's like, bro, your engagement just fucking fell apart. And you're worried about going and having fun and what your friends think of you? Go away. Just go.
Well, because he's got to save face. He's got to sit in the chair, not do any superfluous movements, not draw any attention. So he's asking her to put aside her pain for the day to make him feel more comfortable. So he doesn't feel like he has to explain himself to other people. Not, let's not embarrass ourselves. It's that I want to be here and I don't want to answer to anyone's questions, whether they're verbal or like eyeballs. You know how people can like speak through their eyes. And she's like, I wish you the best. And then she gives us another banger of a line and she says,
go kick rocks with open-toed fucking shoes.
Oh, good one. Really good.
Yeah. Jeremy is special.
I found that conversation really hard to watch, only because I have been in a relationship with a narcissist and I'm very far out of it now. Now it's very easy for me to recognize, but it's true. Narcs don't like being called out on their shit. They like to turn around and make you look like the bad guy. And the thing is that Lauren has a lot of things. She's got some boobies on display. She's got great hair. But what she doesn't have is time for your bullshit because she's not fucking putting up with it. I wish I were as strong as her when I was dealing with a narcissist.
I know. Yeah, I would not have been able to. I mean, again, like my brain gets so flooded with whatever that I'm just like, da, 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 mm-hmm. You know, and then I curl up like a roly-poly bug and I roll away.
Aww.
So now AD is having a little heart-to-heart with Sarah Ann.
Take it away.
And AD is like, AD is another one who's not here for your fucking bullshit. She's like, you know you stepped out of line, right? Like, how are you going to DM a man who's still engaged asking if the door is still open? And Sarah Ann is like, I didn't ask that. But look, she says, I'm a realist. I knew the way that things would play out. I'm like, if you're a realist and you knew the way things would play out, then you also know that he is a horrible garbage person. So I don't know why that didn't stop you.
And then AD's like, he didn't choose you. I mean, so simple and so right. Now, AD is not picking up anything that Sarah Ann is putting down. But, okay, I can definitely get on board with the narrative that maybe AD is acting a little out of pocket. Like, I don't know. I'm sure that trash bag of a human being, Sarah Ann, felt very defensive by having such forward questions asked. Now, number one, it is shocking how justified Sarah Ann feels in her actions. Like, it's as if she went to like www.sidepiece.com and looked up talking points, right? Because she was like, it was over. It's his responsibility. And I mean, I guess it's not surprising. I mean, she's a fucking Trumpy patriot, anti-abortion girly who doesn't believe in boundaries. So she doesn't think she did anything wrong. I get that. And I would do anything for a good friend too. But a little part of me was like, I feel like this is Laura's conversation to have. Do you think that conversation was organic? Or do you think maybe AD was given a little push from production to be like, go ask Sarah Ann about the DMs?
Yeah, I think that production pushes a lot of this. I think they also, like with the conversation with Trevor and Chelsea, they must have said something to Trevor like, hey, could you talk about like fighting? Like if you two maybe like, just like, I think that, you know, because why would he have brought that up? It didn't make any sense except that we know that Jimmy and Chelsea are fighting all the time. Yeah, they probably said to AD, like, why don't you go chat with Sarah Ann about this?
Like, I went back and forth from like admiring her for defending her friend so thoughtfully and so staunchly. But I also was like, Laura can fucking handle herself. You know, I don't know. What did you think? Like, I think it's like badass, but at the same time, I don't know what she was hoping to get from Sarah Ann other than to make her feel like shit, which that's the thing, is that Sarah Ann is a narcissist too. She doesn't feel like she's in the wrong. So you were never actually going to get anything out of the conversation.
I feel like AD in this moment is one of those like, I don't want drama, but I'm gonna stir up some drama. Like, yeah, you do. You do fucking want drama and you are looking to poke the hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really your place to do this. And it's also, I mean, again, it's reality TV. But, like, the pool party is not the place to have this conversation.
I don't know. I just sort of went back and forth from being like, go, AD, and then being like, maybe Laura should talk to her first. I don't know. I'm a flip-flopper. I'm a goldfish. I go with, what do people say in the chat? I'll agree with you.
They're saying that she's just trying to point out that she was being awful. Jeremy basically behaved in the pods the way anybody behaves in the pods when they have two people left. Like, Sarah Ann is acting like Jeremy was, like, doing some extra special thing to let her know that she was important to him, when in fact, Jeremy was just saying, like, I'm trying to pick between two women. Like, that's how the show is.
The only thought that Sarah Ann had that I could get on board with is just her little bit of regret for not being like, can I ask you why? Or I think you're making the wrong decision. She did concede very quickly, which made me think she actually wasn't that into it. She's like, cool. Yeah, Laura's a cool girl. And she just gave up. Remember, we both thought she handled it really well. And I can get that. I can get saying, you know, I a little bit wish I would have fought, or I wish I would have pushed back or asked more questions. I can do that. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, no, it's fine. Great. Absolutely not. I get that. But the DM teetered on inappropriate, especially her last line of whatever it said. I'm paraphrasing. Basically, if shit doesn't work out and you want to slide into this clam, the door is open and we've got really good business hours.
The clamshell is open.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she says that Jeremy told her, I guess in this 5-hour conversation they had in his car, that he wished that she would have asked, are you sure? Because maybe things would have turned out different. And I mean, this was like tire screeching, record scratch moment for me, because I was like, wait, so what you're saying is you proposing to a woman depends on your second choice, second guessing you? Like, that's all it would have taken for you to be like, you know what? I changed my mind. Yikes.
Right.
And then you're still thinking that you want to fucking fuck with that? Like, he's gross.
Yeah. Liz in the chat says, very gross. If he'll cheat with you, he'll cheat on you, babes.
Yeah.
Liz in the chat says, I think AD wanted the drama for sure, but I think it comes from a, you know, you're wrong, right? Place instead of mean girl place. I agree with that. And listen, I would do that for my friend. I'd be like, you know, you're a piece of shit, right? You look so cute. You know, she just wanted to make her feel like shit. But here's the gag. You can't make someone feel like shit who, you know, doesn't think they are. You're not going to change her mind. You're not going to embarrass her because she fully believes she's in the right. That's the DeLulu part of it all.
Sarah Ann swears up and down that they did not cross a line. Well, here's the thing. What does that mean? Cross a line? I don't know what your line is. You don't know what my line is. You know what I mean? Like,
do you believe her? I mean, I consider that even just making out, kissing. I consider
Right, but that's what I'm saying is, like, she could think that cross a line is penis in vagina. And so maybe they absolutely did. Like, she's not saying we didn't mess around. She doesn't explicitly say we didn't kiss, we didn't mess around, he didn't put a finger in my little punello or whatever the fuck you call it.
Cucunella.
She just says that we didn't cross a line. So we don't know what that means.
Fair.
Jeremy and Laura are engaged. Period. End of discussion. And Sarah Ann swears that she thought they weren't engaged anymore.
But AD catches her.
Yeah.
She's like, wait, so when you sent that DM, when they got back to Charlotte, you thought they weren't engaged? And Sarah plays this like, wait, when they got back to Charlotte, wait, what? 1 + 2 + 1 + 2. Like, babe, stop.
Yeah.
You're wrong. You're wrong. And that's it.
And she says, I thought it was a well thought out message. And AD's like, that's crazy. You're a crazy person.
So. And she keeps being like, I saw the DM. So anyway, and she's like, no, I wrote it. She goes, I saw the DM.
No, I saw it. I read it.
I love it. She just keeps throwing that in.
Yeah. Sarah Ann says her feelings deserve to be heard. No, they don't. Sorry. Especially not by Jeremiah. By a therapist, sure. Yes, your feelings deserve to be heard by a therapist or by your best friend or by somebody sitting next to you at a bar where you're, you know, sob drinking, but not the guy who is engaged to somebody else. If Kurt got a text from someone else that was like, hey, if things don't work out with you and Daisy, like that's...
Okay, first of all, I was drunk when I sent that text, okay? Second of all, I didn't know he would respond with a dick pic, huh?
I didn't want to... We were going to talk about that privately. I wasn't going to bring it up here.
Oh, right. I forgot about the chat.
But, like, that was... You don't send my husband a text saying, if it doesn't work out with me.
Right. I won't do that again.
Because he chose me over you. Remember?
Except that one time when he just... Joking about infidelity, also fucking your husband. LOL. Well, then AD just looks at the camera and basically is like, Sarah sucks. I'm team lawyer. I'm team Laura. Like, I'm done. Suck on that, motherfuckers.
And then Sarah Ann does the logical thing that I think will help make her look okay. She goes off to talk to Jeremiah in private.
And they do a long walk on the dock. It's very walk the plank vibes. She marches all the way to the end of the dock. And they're going to have a one-on-one chat. And she's like, it's not fair. I'm just a realist. Did I mention I'm a realist?
It's not fair.
It's like Iggy Azalea. First things first, I'm a realist.
It's not fair.
But then, do you see this brilliant meeting of the minds where they are just encouraging each other? I didn't think that message was wrong. Yeah, they are two people who are painting themselves as the victim and justifying all of their actions. It's actually brilliant theater.
Yes. Yeah, it really is.
And Jeremy is the grossest I've ever seen him. My wish for every male narcissist is that they have 4 to 5 heterosexual daughters, the way God wanted them. And whenever I say something like that, I'm always like, what if this is someone's first time listening? Like, 4 heterosexual daughters. And I want him to watch firsthand each one of them deal with, like, male toxicity. Not all males, hashtag not all men.
Mm-hmm.
But I want that to be someone like Jeremy. I want that to be their penance.
Yeah. I think that we should write that into the new Bible that we're writing. Yeah, the two of them, she's like, I never meant to hurt anybody. And he's like, yeah, you never meant to hurt anybody. They can all fuck off. Yeah, they can all fuck off. She's like, I don't want to be interrogated. It's like, well, then why did you show up to the party where everybody knows that you went off and had a not crossing the line conversation for 5 hours in his car?
I mean, that's a great point. Like, what did you think the energy in the room was going to be like? Everyone's going to be cool with that. You know everyone heard. You know it was in the group chat. Milton even joined that group chat. Milton's like, can I get in on this too, guys? I love a group chat.
I want to be in the group chat. She says they're painting her out to be a floozy. No, they're not. No, they're not. They're not running around going, she's a slut, she's a whore. Actually, I do think Laura calls her a whore at some point. Maybe I just made that up. But they're just not thrilled with you texting a man who's engaged to somebody and then sitting and having a not cross the line 5-hour conversation in his car. But yeah, again, she says she's a realist. Fine, but that doesn't excuse you. Just because you think the relationship's not going to work out, it's not your place to stoke the flames.
Right. And they just keep egging each other on. He's like, you're right. We're right. Everyone is wrong. I was wrong that one time in the pods when I didn't choose you, but no other time was I wrong. We are right. Let's go jet skiing.
Oh, my God. She says that she's not here to make friends. And now she has to deal with all these women on her own. No, you don't. You could literally go home. That's literally what you could do. Is you could just go home. And also, if you don't want them judging you and looking sideways at you, don't go off to the end of the dock with Jeremy and cry and then go jet skiing.
And then go jet skiing.
You think that's going to help your fucking reputation?
Even if you want to, even if there is nothing more that you want to do than sit on it, on that dock, no one to hold them, babe. Kenny Rogers. Like,
yeah.
Don't go jet skiing.
No.
In front of everyone while Laura is in a confessional crying. Also, why is she crying? Does she really love him? Is she for real? Like, is she being for real?
Who knows at this point? I think they're all fucking actors.
She's bawling. She's doing the crying. She's really, you never.
I mean, I think, no, she probably felt embarrassed, humiliated, like, probably hurt.
Janie wrote, were the jet skis brought by Clay? Twist. That's funny. Jet skiing has never helped anyone's reputation, Katie says in the chat. It was just so dumb.
Who's the real enemy? I was fucking destroyed. You know, I was hurt. and to say that I shouldn't send a message or that my feelings aren't valid or that the conversation shouldn't happen at a certain specific time, that's not life. If it was, then love would never happen. It's never perfect. The reality of it is it's messy. It can be difficult, but it can be so beautiful. And it's like, I wasn't about to sit here and allow myself to not say exactly what I needed to say for myself. And I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry.
Yeah, and Laura's like, I don't even care, although clearly you do care because you are hiccup crying. And she's like, he never should have involved me in this fucking thing. He should have gone off with Sarah Ann. And Jeremy tells us in confessional that he knows he didn't do things great, but he deserves grace. He deserves grace, Ellen.
You don't deserve anything. You don't get anything in this life. Like, you don't. You are entitled to your liberties and your freedoms. You're entitled to oxygen. You are not entitled to anyone's grace when you have acted inappropriately. Do you know how you get grace? When you humble yourself.
And show that you're changing.
That is when you receive the grace. When you are deeply remorseful and you humble yourself, then grace is given. You are not owed grace.
No, nobody is owed grace. Nobody's owed an apology. Nobody is owed anything. And also not immediately after you've committed the offense and you're on jet skis with her.
Oof. So that was fun. Best of luck, Sarah Ann.
Woohoo.
And Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah. So now Jimmy, 9 days to the wedding. Jimmy and Chelsea are making...
9 days.
Jimmy and Chelsea are making an ice sculpture.
Totally normal stuff.
He tells us in confessional that he loves the time that he spends with her. That she is his person, Ellen. His person. And I swear to God, we can almost see the gun pointed at his head right out of frame.
Yeah, they did one of those reflector things. To make this shadow.
Yeah. He's like, no, it's great. I love her. We have such a good time all the time. I love it.
They say they feel good 27 times. I stopped counting after 27. I feel good. You good? I'm good. You feel good? I feel great. How are you feeling? Good? Because I'm feeling good.
And that's the thing, too, is that they're constantly second-guessing each other. Because of course they are, because they're both fucking lying to themselves and to each other. He tells her after they're done carving this hideous sculpture that he feels happy. Her eyes are pretty. And she's like, are they? Do you? Are you? Really? Are you sure? you mean it? Like, girl, just... Let him say your eyes are pretty and just say thank you. Ugh.
If you say my eyes are beautiful, it's because... I just changed key. They're looking at you. Change of key. Middle of song. Who cares? Whatever. It's on the Patreon.
By the way, I just want to say in my defense, the other day after we got off the live and you were trolling me about not remembering the lyrics... of Once on This Island, I remembered them all. It's just that you put me on the spot and I was trying on shoes.
Prove it.
A sucker grow me a garden. Please, Aque, don't drown my garden.
Don't flood my garden.
Azul. What?
Keep going. Don't flood my garden.
Azuli, who will my love be? Papake, don't come around me.
Next.
Oh, I don't know. That's as far as I got.
A sucker grow me a garden.
Oh, well, I already said those lyrics. It's not
no,
drown.
But then it's
not drown.
Don't flood my garden. Go ahead. We dance. We dance.
We dance. We dance to the earth.
No. You skipped. Go ahead. What's next?
To the water. I haven't listened to it in 25 years.
You said you just listened to it the other night.
No, I didn't just listen to it the other night.
Oh, it came to you the other night.
It came, just those lyrics, though. Now you're putting me on the spot again. I
to the music of the guns. Is this ringing a bell? You all, once on
the guns every time we take no chance.
You're skipping around.
Listen, I know I haven't listened to it in 25 fucking years, but it's in there.
But it's your favorite? Our hearts hear a song. Yeah. Our feet move along. And to the music of the gods, we dance to the earth. We dance to the water.
The shoes were tight, but she said, all right. Well, that's what some say.
I mean, every song in that show is a banger.
Written by two whites. Who knew? I mean, everybody knew, but you know what I mean?
We did a show at Emerson called Forbidden Emerson. It was like Forbidden Broadway. And we did that to make fun of the musical theater majors. It was like, we dance to the music of Andrew Lloyd Webber fills our minds. And Stephen Sondheim gets us through the hardest time. And if we're ever bored while standing in the hot food line, we dance. It was so fucking funny. Anyway, where were we? Who are we? We're back. All right, Clay and AD. Daisy, my edible kicked in at the end of this scene. We'll get there, but I almost FaceTimed you.
All I wrote is they make sneakers, they have fun. That's it.
Okay, they're just talking. They are just making sneakers. That is true. They go into this cool little trailer where they can make sneakers.
I'm actually... When Clay is making his sneakers, it looks like a blind, drunk 3-year-old painted it. They, like, who has never seen paint. Like, it is so messy. And it is just the paint. He's like, yeah, this is great.
And then he's like, you gotta look at yours. Yours looks nice.
And he's like,
you gotta show me how to do that.
All of a sudden, he doesn't have fingers. Is there a way for me to share a screen? Like, do you remember this?
They were like gray and grayish, barely. I watched this 3 weeks ago.
Daisy, I was crying. Okay. Hold on. Wait. I've got to figure out. I don't know if you can share screen. Hold on. You all, just watch this.
Wait, go down a little bit. Oh. Honestly, that would be me painting.
Look at this.
A shoe.
What? It too much.
In his defense, I think there's tape.
It looks like the inside of my brain. It is so bad. He's like, what is that? How do you do this? I've never seen paint. I was high and I could not stop laughing. And then there's a point where I actually had to turn off the episode and finish the rest later because I was laughing so hard at stuff. Okay. Can I just lead off this next section? Because I just want to tell you what I wrote.
Please.
I wrote, Amy and Johnny. I just zoned out. I wish I was kidding. I'm high. Hopefully Daisy paid attention to this section. Okay, I'm back. He agreed to a vasectomy before he knew what his vasectomy was.
Oh, my God.
I just missed this last part. Daisy's going to be mad at me. I'm high. I wish I was kidding.
That's great.
I literally wrote, Daisy hopefully paid attention. So take it away, Daisy.
All right.
Day's dog.
Amy and Johnny are wedding planning. She wants to hyphenate her last name, but obviously the kids will have his last name. Obviously. They bring up birth control again. He says he's done some research, and for guys, there aren't a lot of options. He just learned that vasectomies aren't just like a thing you do and undo whenever you want. Jesus Christ, I wrote. Then he gives us a very bad biology lesson about what a vasectomy is, and he literally cannot say the word ejaculate.
I just wrote he also can't say cum. Yeah, ejaculation, you can say it like that, not so dirty.
He can't even say have sex.
Right.
He's like, so then the guy can't, you know, when you, like, is he a virgin?
Maybe.
He must be. If he's this terrified of getting somebody pregnant. Also, I'm sorry, but, like, get an abortion. Like, knock it off. Also, it's not going to ruin your fucking life. Like, plenty of people have had unplanned pregnancies, including myself.
Mm-hmm. And me, including the 14-year-old who's making my life hell. She was unplanned. Everyone write your best word for ejaculation. Katie already wrote jizz town and spoogie-woogie.
Spoogie-woogie.
We got spooge.
Yeah.
We got spunk.
This is Comageddon. This is my worst nightmare.
Jizz. I call it Spider-Man spiderweb. Protein shake. Baby juice. Man juice. Splooge. Swoosh. That white stuff. Speckle jackle.
Okay.
Baby batter. Katie, you have so many problems. Baby batter. Baby juice. Y'all ain't right. Oh, we lost Daisy. Oh. Do you think they would dim the lights for her on Broadway? I feel like they would since she's a Tony Award winner.
They fucking better. You don't think I've thought about this? They fucking better. I will. If they don't dim the lights for me, I will come back and fucking haunt everybody.
No, they will. You're a Tony winner. And you'll be on the In Memoriam. The only time I actually went out to catch the lights dimming. So for those of you who don't know, it is a Broadway tradition that when someone in the Broadway community passes, I mean, not anybody, there are people who they've had to fight to have the lights dimmed. Like there's some weird classification. Like if I'm honestly, I'm not being funny. If it were me, they wouldn't dim the lights. I mean, I've been on Broadway, but like you are a Tony winner.
They listen, would... not all theater people have the lights dimmed for them.
Right. Not all theater people. And so it's usually like 10 minutes before curtain, every theater will literally turn off their marquee. Oh, I'm getting chills. They'll like turn off the marquee and they dim the lights. And only one time did I really, really make an effort to see it. And that was for Marin Maisie.
Oh, yeah.
Because we were in Enron together. And then Jason was in Pretty Woman with me when she passed. But anyway, why are we talking about death? Oh, because you just died. Right. You died from jizz. Okay. Anyway.
Right. So here's the thing. If he were to wear a condom and she wore a female condom, which I will give you is a goofy looking thing, whatever, who cares? If you want to have sex or they put a little sperm aside, she could wear a diaphragm. I don't know if they still make sponges. There are so many things that they could do to double up the contraception. And to your point, Ellen,
I don't think diaphragms are a thing. We are so sophisticated with birth control. Like, they have the, like, Nextivo. What's that thing called?
There's so many things you can do.
Yeah.
There are pill. Well, she doesn't want the hormones, which is fine. I get it.
It's non-hormone. IUD is non-hormone, too. But some women's, the way they're...
Well, I wasn't able to get the IUD put in. It was too... painful.
Right, because you know everyone knows that you have a teeny tiny vagina, so that makes sense. Everybody knows that. They say that everywhere on the board.
It's so small. And to your point, not in this episode, but in the past, you're like, how have they not... Like, if they are that in love with each other, how have they not fucked?
I know.
I have fucked people whose names I don't know. I have fucked people who, if I had to walk over them dead on the sidewalk, I would have no idea that I ever met them.
Yeah.
And these people are in love and share a bed and they haven't fucked?
I know. I've fucked people and I've actually said after, was that it? So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wait, it's done?
Oh, that was it? Oh.
I didn't realize we started.
I didn't break a sweat, even. I didn't even get in any other position besides just laying here. That's weird. Okay. Men are awesome. Yeah, I don't understand these two. I hope she says the physical connection is an 11 out of 10.
No, it's not.
Here's the thing. Like, if my pants are coming off, your dick is going in there. Like,
yes.
You're just going to what, do oral and that's it? Like, okay.
Also, let me tell you from experience, no man, especially not in his 20s or early 30s, is that fucking good at oral that's all she needs.
You know I send a video.
Right, right. And also, she probably doesn't know her body well enough yet to be like, this is how you do it. This is how it goes. Like,
yeah. You know I send a video. I sent Joey the video that I send to men.
Tanner, I'm sure that you are just the king of cunnilingus.
Who is?
Tanner has now been dubbed the cunnilingus king.
Wait, why?
Because Tanner said he feels attacked that I said no man in his 20s or 30s. But also, Tanner, go fuck yourself. You're 40, so.
Yeah, It definitely gets better as you get...
Well, also, like, as you've been with enough women to be like, hopefully, for them to be like, no, 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 this is how it goes.
I actually take great pride in that.
And it also wasn't until I was with women until I learned, oh, that's what needs to happen down there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's on my bucket list. But one person I taught, and he was an impeccable student, I literally followed directions, and I was like, the next time you are, like, you know, up for the job, have them call me. And I'll be like, no, do it. I will give you a great Yelp review. Very, very good at it.
All right. So now we're 7 days till the wedding, and they're gonna go dress shopping, which I love so much.
Your favorite. Vanessa walks in to the dress shop. Do you see how shocked Chelsea was? It was like the ghost of Tina Turner walked in. Like the shock and the awe and the surprise. She was like, is that Vanessa Lachey? Miss Teen USA 1998? Oh, Vanessa Lachey, who had the 8-episode arc on The Bold and the Beautiful? Oh my God!
wait a minute. Oh, right. I'm on the show that she hosts. I've already met her.
It's so weird. Everyone's trying on dresses. Everyone brought someone. They all say hi.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we all do that. I did take your note from last time and I put all the women together and all the men together because I listen and I learn. I'm like AI. I get better with each instruction.
You're good. We don't have to go through all of them. They all want their woman to find love and have the right thing and find the perfect dress. This is the happiest they've ever seen her. There you go. I just cut 15 minutes out of the episode.
Yeah. Although I will say that when AD puts her first dress on, that woman is, I've never seen somebody cry harder than that.
She wasn't crying. Daisy, she was hyperventilating. I was like, does she need an oxygen tank? Maybe she needs an EpiPen. I don't know her medical history. I'm not violating HIPAA for this fucking podcast. But she's not okay.
Every time she looks in the mirror at herself, she like gasps and bends over, heaving cries.
Now listen, it's a perfectly lovely dress. It is simple. It is plain. It's not ornate. There's no sequins. There's no beads. There's no lace. It is perfectly fine. It's just a white dress, babe.
Yeah. I actually liked that dress because that's my, like, I prefer.
Totally.
I feel like the bride should be more beautiful than the dress, but, and also wear whatever you want. I don't give a fuck.
But let's talk about that slit. Listen, I was very concerned because I feel like wearing that dress, she could get accidentally pregnant. Like, if she hugged someone too long, there could possibly be insemination. I'm worried about it. I'm worried that, like...
That dress is a shame. That dress is a shame. That dress is, like, it's like a Vegas... It's not even a Vegas wedding dress. It's like a Vegas showgirl dress. It's like...
Wear whatever you want.
Wear whatever
you
want.
Wear whatever makes you beautiful, but I don't like to feel uncomfortable. You know, like, when girls, like, do this to, like, their tube tops or whatever? I'm like, you feel uncomfortable right now. I don't want that for you. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable. And I just feel like with that slit, there is any option that I might see labia.
Listen, my labia majora and minora, frankly, would have seen them if I'd worn that dress.
Right. But great.
So this is the veil that says with till death do us part. And she goes,
till death do us part.
We were just talking about House Bunny. You know that part where she says names like that? She's like, Rachel. It just helps her remember. Do you remember that part? Anyway.
I didn't see that movie.
Daisy, that veil. I have never meant immediately no. No, thank you. It is an absolute no for me. I have never wanted to light a piece of clothing on fire as fast as I wanted to light that veil on fire. What are your thoughts?
Till death do us part is the most negative statement in the entire wedding ceremony.
But to be fair, they made an entire like 25 episodes on Snapped for people who are like, well, I'll see about that. I'll speed this process along. If it's really till death do us part, let's part a little sooner.
Most of those women, I feel like, were justified. I have a strange episode coming out, I think it's this week, in which the angel makers, these women in Hungary who poisoned all of their husbands, and I had to work really hard.
Wait, was it in like the 1800s?
It was in the early 1900s,
We covered that on Deadly Women.
Oh, you did? Oh, fun. They finish up the fucking dresses. Amy wants to look like a Disney princess. I hate those, like, weird sleeve things, flowers. I actually do love her dress. The off the shoulder, but it has a strap and it's got flowers cascading down it. I think it's very pretty. Not so much the tiara. Her mom tells her she's proud. Whatever. They cry. They pop the Korbel. Nothing classier than a bottle of Korbel.
I just think it's funny that Amy's mom talks to her in Spanish and then she answers her in English. And it's not that I feel like the mom should speak English. I'm just like, does she understand you or are you saying this for the room? Because I feel weird that she's talked to you in Spanish. And that makes me think she doesn't speak English well or she's not confident in her English.
She might understand it better than she can speak it, but yeah.
Maybe. I was like, okay.
She probably started answering in Spanish and they were like,
they were like, we don't have a big Spanish-speaking audience. So can you... just...
And also, our budget for the captions person is really, we can do one person per season.
Not enough to translate. So can you say it again in English?
Yeah, because this is America. So if you want to speak Spanish, you can go back to your country. And then Netflix is like, oh, shit, don't save that.
Go back to your shithole country, I think is what they said.
Wait, I actually do have to tell you a story. When I was just in Colombia, these fucking kids spoke English so well. Their parents didn't. Like, you can tell it's, like, generational because the parents came the last day. And they – I was like, I'm not telling you that, like, English is the end-all and be-all, but, like, you all speak amazing English. And then when the parents would come up to me, they would say, like, oh, I'm so sorry. My English isn't good. I was like, babes, I'm in your country.
Yeah.
I have no expectation of you speaking English to me.
Yeah, and I speak no Spanish, so.
I mean, I do. It was just, like, wow. Like, this generation, they're – English was nowhere near my teenage Spanish. Like, I was like, I can say, like, door, tree, and, like, will you please pass the hard-boiled egg?
Oh, yeah. Right. Where is the library?
Exactly.
Yeah, the kids here in Palm Springs, too, their English is so good. Like, it's remarkable. All right. The men try on suits, blah, blah, blah. Finally, that garbage is over, I wrote.
I just enjoy how they keep slow motion panning over the handkerchiefs. I was like, we get it. Men have no accessory options. They do that 7 times. And then Jimmy comes out while he's trying on a suit. And he's like, well, this is tight on my hips. And do you know why?
Why?
Because his hips don't lie. And he's starting to feel it's right. All the attraction. The attention. I'm on the line. I don't lie. I'm a pizza pie. Anyway. They are trying on their suits. Who cares?
Who cares? Blah, blah, blah. 4 days to go.
So now AD and Clay are going on their last date. They get in the car and there's some kind of bouquet. It's not flowers, but it's like gifts made to look like flowers. AD screams like Clay just paid off her house.
Yes. And also her dress could not be shorter. I wrote, if it were any shorter, her lips would be hanging out. I'm not judging. I am just reporting the facts.
So they go to a rooftop dinner.
Is he
Daisy
driving an Escalade?
I don't know. It's really nice, though. That tan leather interior.
Where is that money coming from? Where are all these people getting all this money?
I think he's like a very successful. I think he's got his hand in a lot of businesses. I think he's got money.
I did something wrong in my life.
Because he was worried about her money. But also some people leasing an Escalade is probably like, I don't know anything about cars.
Or maybe he rented it for the show.
Ooh, good call.
So they have a rooftop dinner date. She is so happy. She really, really seems like she's in this.
Can we have a talk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I really try and be a very good person. I try to reserve judgment because you never know what kind of a place anyone is in their life. Daisy, AD's runaway eyelash. I actually blame the people on set because someone should have been like, babe, and like, that eyelash is drunk. That eyelash is trying to escape her face. It doesn't feel like she's comfortable. It is trying to Irish goodbye her face.
How does she not see it or feel it?
It's like, it is literally sliding off her face. I am so uncomfortable. She's like, yeah. I'm like, somebody just be like, can we cut for 1 second? It's like if I were to see a woman, you know, with like toilet paper on her shoe or something.
Yeah, you'd be like, hey, babe.
Like nobody helped this runaway eyelash. Shit happens. I get it. It's making her look like a drunk sloth from Goonies.
Yeah, it's not good. Also, just in general, those eyelashes are too heavy. Yeah.
Too heavy. Too much.
So Clay thinks he's going to be a great father. He can't wait. She says if he walks with her, she'll take him to the moon. She asks him if he's ready, and he says, strap it on. And again, we need to have a discussion with straight people about what that means.
Right.
Because either he is really letting everybody know how he likes it, which, great. If you are that open and you want everybody to know that, that's awesome. But I don't think that's what he means.
I also really need to point something out. And if you need me to show you a video, I will record it again. First of all,
You know how I've been saying that I think he's neurodivergent?
Yes.
I am 100% confident in my armchair assessment. I believe Clay is neurodivergent.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. You are too. And so am I. While Clay is talking about how excited he is about their life and their future and their plans, he's actually shaking his head no. We learned this with Alec Murdoch. When he was saying one thing and his head was doing another, he was saying, I'm so excited to live my life with you. I cannot wait to be with you. We're going to be together for whatever he was saying. And he was shaking his head no. And it was, I couldn't stop watching. I couldn't stop watching. I wasn't even listening to what he was saying. I was like, your subconscious, your body is saying something different.
Yeah, they tell us that all the time on, like, you know, true crime shows. They're like, they bring in a body language expert and they're like, look at this person talking. You know, they're like, I did not kill her. I didn't kill her.
I mean, sometimes maybe it can be junk science and nerves.
Sure.
But it is such an indication. And I don't know the connection with, like, neurodivergence. But, like, you know, I know a lot of people on the autism spectrum, they're almost, like, incapable of lying.
Yeah.
You know, they're so honest.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know the correlation, but I was like, baby, your body is actually physically rejecting what your mouth is saying.
Have I ever told you guys there was this? I don't remember if it was an episode of This American Life. It's a long time ago that I heard this. Oh, no, I read about it in an Oliver Sacks book. So there was in a psychiatric mental health residential institution, really cognitively impaired, had trouble, you know, with day-to-day conversation, day-to-day tasks. And they showed them speech. I think it was by Ronald Reagan. And they all started laughing, all of them. And they were like, why are you laughing? And it was because they couldn't really understand what he was saying. But the way he was saying it in his body language was so, to them, absurd. Like, they were picking up on body language that, like, the average person wouldn't see. I've got to find this story because it's fascinating. They could just see in his body language something that neuronormal people couldn't see. Neuronormal, is that a thing?
I watch those body language videos, and listen, they're not admissible in court, and sometimes it can be junk science, but also no. Because your body regulates in a different way. Anyway, it's just all really fascinating. I also think it's really interesting that he said he thought he was going to be a good dad, because that's something he's always vehemently defended of his dad.
Yes.
And I think he, like, doesn't want to let go of that.
I think it's also just another way to say, I hope I don't cheat.
Right.
But without saying the word cheat, because he's like, I better not say that word again. I have 4 days until I can say it again.
Side note, has anyone heard from my dad? I don't. DM me. It's fine.
Amy and Johnny are glamping. Who cares? So now it's 3 days to the wedding.
Wait, can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
Yes. Who cares? But then Johnny says one of the most prolific and quite possibly most profound things we might have ever heard on the show.
This whole thing, like, being pods, like, everything.
Yeah. Wow. Oh my God.
I need some time to unpack that.
Oh, he just, yeah. I mean, he really summed up life in that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Everyone take your time processing.
This whole everything. So now we're 3 days out and Jimmy and Chelsea are at an amusement park that they have all to themselves, which I can't, that must be so much fucking fun.
I was like, this is the coolest date I have ever seen on a TV show. To have an amusement park to yourself. I mean, that is amazing.
I know.
You've never taken me to an amusement park by myself.
I am going to as soon as I have all of the money.
All of the what?
Money.
For what?
To buy out the park.
You told me like a year ago. How long does it take?
To get money?
You have 3 podcasts.
But yeah, they're at an amusement park. Because Waka Waka, their relationship has been up and down like a roller coaster. Get it?
Get it.
They have some fun. They go on a roller coaster. They have dinner. And oh no, we all know what's about to happen. Even if we don't, we know it's about to fucking happen. And I said to Monty, because Monty was watching this with me, I was like, they're about to fight. And he was like, really? I said, oh yeah, absolutely. Watch this. She says she feels like it's hard sometimes and they test each other. And she is asking herself, can she see herself with him for the rest of her life? And then there's this long-ass Netflix pause, and we're all waiting for her to pick the fight. And she says, today she feels really good.
All right, well.
Wait, hold on. So he brings up the fight that he calls an argument. Their little tiny little itsy-bitsy little tiff.
All right.
He has no doubt that she's his person, Ellen, his person.
We're just looking for our people.
He says, are we going to get married? Because I haven't gotten a grasp of where you're at. There's a big dramatic pause, and then she does a whole bunch of those facial expressions. And dun, dun, dun. That's where we leave it, with her just looking like a big mouth bass.
Why has no one done a beaker side by side? Why has that never happened?
That's a really good...
We're missing a huge comedic opportunity.
Somebody do that, please.
Somebody please do that. Please do a beaker side by side. Daisy, Sarah, Amy, Elizabeth Egan, it has been my pleasure to resurrect from our unplanned hiatus with you and all of our listeners. Don't worry, we're going to bang the rest of these out, and then we're going to bang you. That's the promise that we give at Grab Bag Collab.
I got a text from a friend of mine saying, I'm starting to believe that you and Ellen really do scissor.
Wait, what did I say to Amber the other day? She was texting me, like I said, she was texting me these like really heartfelt, like, we love you messages. And like, she was just like, I know you're, you know, struggling and this isn't typical for you, blah, blah. I said, I feel like this is a roundabout way of you asking me to scissor and say less. The answer is, of course. That was a business text. That was actually a business text. We're good at business.
I was just watching a Dateline where they like show this woman an email from her boss that's like clearly not appropriate. And they're like, is that a normal email to get from your boss? And she's like, yes. And I'm like, man, we would be in trouble. I mean, we'd be like, yeah, that's basically how we communicate all day, every day.
We literally, Harris the other day was like, she'll say something as a joke. She's like, can you do it or I will release our texts? And we're like, okay.
Oh, yeah, that's a good motivator. Thank you so much for joining us on Grab Bag Collab. Please tell all your friends, tell your wife, tell your kids. You know, have faith in us. We're working. We hopefully have a big announcement coming soon. And Bob's your uncle.
Bob's your uncle. We love you. And Nick Lachey was here. He did not shut the fuck up, but we would really appreciate if he shut the fuck up. So shut the fuck up.
He wouldn't shut the fuck up. Shut the fuck up, Nick.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up. Ha. Shut the fuck up.
Love you, Daisy.
Love you.
Bye.